We're in a new series. And I love starting new series. I like doing new series, and I hope you will too. And it's called I Want to Leave Something Here. I believe that God not only wants us to have a victorious life and a great life and have a prosperous life, but He wants us to leave something here when we're done with this aspect of life. I know that's true because we're created in God's image. Is that correct? And did God leave something here? See, how about this moon and the stars? How about the sun? Pretty important, huh? How about humanity, mankind? How about the rainbow that tells us we're going to be here a long time? How about His kingdom? You see, all of these things God left here for us to enjoy, and they matter. And so we're created in His image, and you and I are here to leave something here that matters. From the time that we're born until the time we go on into the next dimension, our life is supposed to leave a mark. And we want to leave something here that truly, truly matters. So as I begin the series, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that LifeGate Church is here to make a difference? Do you believe that we are here uniquely, unlike any other church in our region, in our area? Do you believe that we have the potential to really leave something here that matters? Now, that's not to say that other churches won't leave something that matters, but we are obviously different, and we are obviously here to accomplish something a little unique, which means that most likely you are unique. Now, the reason I say that is because we are constantly tempted to be like other churches. We're constantly tempted to change our music, change the way we present the gospel, constantly tempted to be like other churches. But if we're like other churches, then what will we leave that's unique and that's different? What mark will we leave? Now, that's true about our lives as well. You see, you are constantly tempted to be like your mom or your dad or your friends. You're constantly tempted to be like society wants you to be. And it's easy to do. It's easier to do that than to be something unique. But what God wants us all to be is unique. He wants us to do something with our lives. And the time that He's given to us, He wants us to accomplish something that He's already put inside of each one of us. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about some things. We're going to be talking today about we're going to stop looking back. So I'll be commenting on that plenty in just a little while. Next week, we're going to be talking about take time to dance. You got to take time and enjoy life, right? You got to take time and my dad used to tell me, Delbert Ray, Delbert Ray, you got to stop and smell the roses. You got to take time to dance. You got to face your fears, right? We're going to talk about that. Fear will hold you and grip you and keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. We're going to talk about changing from the inside out. Where is the kingdom of God? Is it out there or in here? See, the reason that God puts His kingdom inside of us is to change us from the inside out. Change your body, soul, spirit. Change your heart, mind, and thought pattern. He wants to change us from the inside out. We're going to talk about making my mark. What happens in your life between the day you're born and the day you pass on? Did you leave a mark? Did your life mean anything? We're going to talk about that. And then finally, we're going to talk about becoming a brand new man or a brand new woman. You see, that's what God wants us to do. It's all about being changed and being conformed to His image and to His likeness and becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. So those are what we're going to be talking about for the next 6 weeks. So invite somebody. Tell them to come. Tell them, you know, hey, we're looking about leaving something here. We're talking about life. So what I want to tell you about right now is the first message in this series that's called Stop Looking Back. I want to first emphasize that your past has only been steps to your future. Do you realize that one of the things that stops all of us from accomplishing what God's called us to do and wants us to do are things that has happened in our past? For an example, you see, when I decided that I was going to go into the ministry and leave what my life at that time, the security and the business and those things. People heard that Delbert was going to be a preacher. And they laughed. Yeah, that'll last. Well, 20 years later, I'm better at it than I've ever been, you know? And I am leaving something here, and they're not. They're just doing what they were doing 20 years ago. What I'm trying to communicate to you is that you cannot allow your past to stop your future and from what God wants you to do and what He's put in your heart to do. You got to stop looking back. Ask you a question. Will your past mark your life or will your future? In other words, have you already had your best days? Or are your best days ahead of you? Will your past be your legacy? Or will your future be your legacy? What will people remember you by? See, I've got an all right legacy right now. I've done something that a lot of people don't get to do. I've touched hundreds of lives. I've prayed for people. I've done all kinds of written books. I've got an internet full of sermons, you know. People reading my sermons and preaching them everywhere. I mean, I have done a pretty neat thing. But I know in my belly that God still isn't done with me. You know, I know yet in my belly that I have not seen my best times. I know that there's something still out there yet for me to do in a much greater capacity than I've yet experienced it. How about you? How about you? Do you know in your belly, I mean down deep inside of you, do you know that your best days are ahead? What's going to be your mark? What's going to be your legacy? What are you going to really leave here? You know, God wants us to do something with the time that He's given us. I want to talk to you about stopping the looking back thing. And every time I talk about or think about and prepare something along these lines, I can't help but think about a guy named Thomas Edison. How many of you know who Thomas Edison was? Good. Well, this guy was an inventor, and he created the first light bulb, incandescent. And he did 10,000 experiments before he finally got it to work. A reporter came to Thomas Edison and said, Mr. Edison, how does it feel to fail 10,000 times? Mr. Edison looked at the reporter and he said, I didn't fail 10,000 times. He said there was 10,000 steps to get to a light bulb that works. What I want you to see is no matter what's happened in your past, it wasn't failing. It was steps to bring you to where God wants you to go. And whatever's happened back there has just brought you to this place in life so that you are now ready and well able to go on and to experience what God has for you. We got to stop looking back. The Apostle Paul was a great man of faith. He left something here. Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life changed just as our life should change when we encounter Him. Paul met Jesus, and then he went as an apostle all over the world starting churches. And he began many churches. But down in Paul's belly, he knew there was something else that God wanted him to do. And we're going to read from the passage in just a section, in just a few seconds. But what Paul did that really stayed, see, the churches, most of those churches that he began aren't here any longer. But what is here are the writings that Paul wrote. A lot of people would have thought that all the churches Paul started would have been his legacy. No. What Paul's legacy is all about are the writings that even today, 2,000 years later, every church around this globe ministers from the gospel, from the writings that Paul wrote. We're going to do it today. But nearly every Sunday we reference Paul's writings. So many times in just conversations with other believers and Christians, we're referencing those things that Paul said. So Paul left a legacy, and he's a great person to help us understand more about how to leave something here. So I want to read with you a passage, and I hope you have your Bibles turned to it, from the book of Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. And I'll read you to get a handle on this today. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It's just a great translation. It's a true translation. But anyway, here's what Paul said. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be. Now, leave that slide up there. I'm going to talk about it just for a second. I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Now, what I want us to see is that Paul says that all of success comes to one thing. The secret to success in something that requires all our energy, the secret to success comes down to one thing. Okay, change the slide. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. The Apostle Paul says that success in life, if you really want to leave something here, comes down to one thing. Forgetting the past, whether it was successful or failure. Forgetting it and finding out what lies in the future for you. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain, King James Version says I press, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Paul says success comes down to one thing. All of our energy and all of our strength should be focused on one thing, forgetting the past and focusing on the future. It comes down to one thing. Stop looking back. Now, there's three things in this passage that I want to talk about today. Points that we could talk about more, but I want to emphasize three points that I think will help us all do that thing. Stop looking back and begin to focus on the future. So here's the first one that I want to talk to you about. Be what Jesus saved you to be. Be what Jesus saved you to be. Did you know that He saved you for something and not just from something? Now, a lot of people hear about what they were saved from, which is hell, but they don't hear a whole lot about what they were saved for. What I want to do is help you understand what you're saved for. Here's what he says. Here's what the apostle said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally, look at this, be all that Christ Jesus saved me for. Would you say for back to me? Saved me for and wants me to be. Say to be back. To be. Saved you for something and to be something. That's fabulous. That's fabulous. Saved you for and to be. And then he says, I strain, King James Version says I press, to reach the end of the race and receive the prize. Paul said that something releases you or boomer or shoots you out or you know, just shoots you forth in a way that you can stop looking back and begin to look forward. And that is, first of all, understanding that Jesus saved you for something and to be something, not just from something. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. See, God created every person, every single person that's ever been born for a purpose. You have inside of you the will of God. Inside of you is the purposes of God to do something special. Now, let me show you that I'm telling you the truth here, again from another verse. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10. Here's what Paul says. For it is by grace you have been saved. through faith. And this not from yourselves. In other words, this ability to be saved didn't come from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works. In other words, you didn't pray the sinner's prayer just right and get saved. You didn't come to church just to get in, that got you saved. Nothing that you can do is able to get you saved. It's a choice God makes. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. Here's what he says. No one can boast. What's happening? So that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ. Why? Why? Why are we born again into Christ? Why are we birthed again? To do good works, to do something which God prepared in advance for us to do. Say to do again. To do. See, what that verse is saying is that you didn't do anything for your salvation. God purposefully chose you. God purposefully put into you certain gifts and talents so that you could do something that He purposefully prepared in advance for you to do. That's what it's saying. You weren't just saved from something. You were saved for something. Now that's big. And Paul says that this understanding is what will initially shoot you forth to run the race that is laid before you. God created each of us uniquely. How many of you believe that? Yeah. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you have your own DNA? Does anybody else that has ever lived have your DNA? No. No. If you're a twin, does your twin have your DNA? Nope. You can be an identical twin and not be identical, right? What God does for us, am I doing something wrong? Okay. Yeah, I'm plugged in. I don't know. I want this on tape, so I want to make sure we get it right. Yeah, give me that mic right there, Jim. That'd be good. We checked the battery, so I know everything's good. Pardon? It works over here, doesn't it? Huh? Huh? I'll try it again. All right. Okay. There you go. Where was I? God has made us each unique. If you're an identical twin, you're still not identical, correct? What about your fingerprints? You have unique fingerprints. Yes? Do you, how about your retina layout?
Your jawbone structure. See, we are unique. We are fearfully and we are wonderfully made.
And that's exactly what
David said. David said we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to show you this passage. We're going to be talking about this one a lot in a couple of weeks from our temperament study. In Psalms 139, verse 14, it says this. This is what David came to the conclusion. He says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Marvelous are thy works. You have made me special, is what David's saying. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Just as certain as your body and your natural structure has its own DNA, fingerprints, retinal layout, jawbone structure, just as certain as you're unique in the physical aspects, you're also unique in your soul aspects. That my soul knows quite well. Your soul has a DNA. And we're going to be talking about that over the next couple of weeks during the temperament study. We're going to help you understand who you are and how God's wired you to be. One of the main things that Paul says we've got to understand if we're ever going to be shot forth and to run the race that we're here to run is we've got to understand who we are and how God's made us and what we're here to accomplish. We're going to be doing those kinds of things this year. I want to help you understand not so much what you were saved from. Everybody knows that. I want to help you understand what you were saved for. You will never be content. You'll never be happy until you understand for what you were saved. Let me read this scripture to you. It's in Proverbs 22:6. We all know it, can quote it. It says, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he or she is old, he or she will not depart from it. Now, that scripture doesn't mean that if you bring your child to church every week, that your child is going to be successful and your child's going to be okay. That's not what that means. How many know as preacher kids that didn't turn out too good, huh? They're here all the time. There you go. And see, that's not what the verse means. What the verse means is this, is that we as parents need to have an understanding about our child and what our child's giftings are, how God made our child, and what grace things God has put into our child to cause our child to be successful. And then we train those gifts. We train what that child is good at. We train what that child can do very well. We help that child grow into that dimension, and when that child is old, that child will be successful. They will not depart from the things they were trained in. That's what the verse means. How many of you ever heard something like this? That is a gifted child. You ever heard something like that? Well, we all have gifts. You have gifts. I have gifts. We all are gifted. Gifted by God. That's what grace is. Grace is God gifting you with giftings from God. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. When you were born, when God created you, He put in you certain gifts and talents. Unlike anybody else, this is your soul DNA. And in your soul DNA lies all those things that you can do. And some things you can do a little bit better than anybody else can do. And God's made you that way. And so what we do is we don't just do it when we're children. We continuously do it all of our lives. We continue to train ourselves up in the way we should go. But if you don't know where you're going, you won't know if you get there. Right? And so what God says, the first thing you've got to know if you're ever going to figure out where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do, is you're supposed to first figure out where you're going. In other words, who are you? What is it that God's called you to do? That is what springs forth. And when you get this revelation, when you finally figure out what it is God's purpose for your life and what God wants you to do, you will stop looking back. Because back doesn't mean anything. It's just steps to get to where you are now. No matter if they were failures or successes. When you really know where you're going, your past doesn't matter. You understand that? And so Paul says that. That's the first step. That's the first thing that you got to know. You got to understand. If we will continue to train ourselves up in the way that we should go, we cannot help but be successful. We cannot help but to experience all that God has for us and leave a mark and do what we're here to do. How did Paul know what God had called him to do? How will you know? First of all, Paul had an encounter with Jesus Christ on his road to Damascus. Now, if you're a born-again Christian and you really are saved, you had an encounter. You had a road to Damascus experience. God showed up in your life one day, and a bright light blinded the rest of the world to you. And all of a sudden, in your life and in your heart, there's an explosion. And some little preacher come along, like an Ananias, laid hands on you, you got Holy Ghost, you got baptized, and all of a sudden, you understood your purpose in life. Paul also prayed, and he fasted. He got before God. Why am I here? What am I created to do? He got around believers. He went to Jerusalem with the apostles. He hung out with people who knew what they were supposed to do, and they were able to help Paul. These are the ways you will find out what you're supposed to do. And if you'll do those things, I promise you, you will learn why you're here, what you're created to do. And you will be shot forth, be able to run the race that God's laid out for you. And that's what Paul's talking about. If you're going to run your race of life, then the first thing you got to know is that God created you for something. He didn't just save you from something. God wants you to do some very, very great things in life. So that's the first step, is knowing that God's created you for something and to do something. The second one, let's look at the second one. Second thing that I saw in this passage that Paul talked about was pattern and follow correct examples. Now, this is serious. People you pattern yourself after or run with will take you up like an elevator or take you down like an elevator. This is very serious. Here's what Paul says. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Pattern your life after mine and learn from those who follow our example. In the late 60s, I was a big football fan. I was a Miami Dolphin fan. In the 60s, the Miami Dolphins were an expansion football team. And I was born in Miami, so I had a link there. But also, my father-in-law liked the team. And we had this camaraderie thing, and we enjoyed the Miami Dolphins. And did I say that right first time? I didn't say Miami Falcons, did I? Miami Dolphins. And so anyway, they wanted Don Shula to become their head coach. And at that time, Don Shula was coaching the Baltimore Colts. And they went after him, and they got him. Now, the Baltimore Colts had just won their league championship in the late 60s when they acquired Shula. So Shula came to Miami, and what Shula did was show the Miami team footage, film footage of the Baltimore Colts, the champions. And he said, I want you to watch the perfection by which they run their plays. I want you to see how they encourage each other on the field, help each other up. Even when someone fumbles the ball, they don't let them get down. They keep them pumped up. They keep everybody pumped up on the field. Well, this really worked well. They have a legacy. Let me tell you what that team has accomplished since its beginning. The Miami Dolphins have gone on to have 21 playoff berths, 12 AFC Eastern Division championships, 5 American Football League Conference championships, and 2 Super Bowl championships. They chose the right pattern. And this is what I want you to say. If you get the right pattern in life and you hook up after the right things in life and pattern yourself after the right, you cannot fail. You're always focusing forward. You're not allowing things behind you to hold you back. You're focusing forward. You're looking at somebody who is successful or something that is successful. And you begin to do what did. You follow in its steps and you are successful as well. You run your plays right. You encourage yourself. And you stay on top of the game. You develop a legacy to leave. Judy says that I become my favorite preacher of the moment. In other words, whoever it is that I'm listening to, I become them. She's seen me be all kinds of preachers. I mean, I've been T.D. Jakes, and I've been everybody. But I want to leave something here. I go to their churches, they're successful men of God and women of God, and I go and I get their tapes and their CDs and their DVDs now, you know, and I get whatever I can, their audio tapes, and I go to bed at night listening to them. I study what they say. I try to communicate the way they communicate. I attempt to do things that they do and say things the way they say them so that I too can be successful. I'm not parroting, I'm patterning. And there's a difference, you see. But also, I'll go to their churches, which are usually very large and successful churches, and I'll bring stuff back here. Much of what we do here at LifeGate, I have patterned here from another successful church. Now, we have our own DNA. We have our own uniqueness here, right? And we adapt it correctly. But I want you to see that. We pattern after successful things. We will not fail. There's no way we can fail. We know we're here for a purpose. We know we're patterning correctly. And we're not looking back. We're going on. And if you'll do that, I promise you, you will be successful. You cannot fail. You cannot fail. The past will not stop us when we pattern after successful people. How many would like to be Bill Gates? Maybe not be Bill Gates and look like Bill Gates, but maybe have Bill Gates' money. How many would like, richest man on the planet, right? Very successful. Well, if you're going to be what Bill Gates is, you've got to do what Bill Gates did. Sam Walton. Everybody know who Sam Walton is? Founder of Walmart, right? Very successful man. If you're going to be a Sam Walton, you got to do what Sam Walton did. It's kind of that simple. There's not shortcuts. You'll have to pattern and follow those footsteps. And if you will,
then you will be successful. So that's the second thing. First thing is know who God created you to be and what He wants you to be. Second thing is pattern correctly after successful people. And the third thing that I want to talk about is just clearly stop looking back. Looking back is devastating. Let me tell you, nothing good can come from looking back. Paul says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies." In other words, this is not easy. It's not easy. It takes energy to help to keep yourself from focusing back. I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past, I'm not looking back, and looking forward to what lies ahead. Looking back is deadly. The Bible tells us a story about a man named Lot. He was Abraham, who was very successful. He was Abraham's nephew. And a guy ended up with some bad patterns. He ended up in Sodom. And things went bad. The angels came to deliver Lot and his family from Sodom. God was about to destroy Lot's past and deliver him from it. And here's what the angels said to Lot and his family as they delivered them. This is in Genesis chapter 19, verses 17. I want to read verses 17 and verse 26. "As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, 'Flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away.' But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." God delivered Lot from a past life. And the angel specifically told him, do not look back. But Lot's wife looked back. God has delivered me. He has delivered you from a past life. Right today, He's delivering you from a past life. And what He's saying to you through His angel is, don't look back. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, of course, that ended her. She went no further. But everything around her, have you ever thrown salt on the ground? Nothing will grow there. If you look back, it will devastate your family. It'll devastate your children. It'll devastate your spouse. It'll devastate people around you, your friends. Nothing can grow when you look back. God's got something ahead of you. He doesn't want you even stopping in the plain. He wants you to go to the mountain. He's got some good stuff waiting for you. But you can't look back. You gotta let God take you on and deliver you from the past. Even if it's a triumph. You see, a lot of times we have good things that happened in our past and we have a triumph and a victory, and so we want to live there. We want that triumph and that victory to be where we stay. No. I mentioned Bill Gates and I mentioned Sam Walton earlier. Bill Gates is the richest man on the planet, but yet today he owns Microsoft. And he's the head of Microsoft. And yet today, you know, I don't know when the next version will come out, but there will be soon a new version of Windows. He's not stopping where he is my point. There will be more programs, updated programs, that's coming from Microsoft. Bill Gates isn't stopping because he's had past triumphs. Sam Walton is even dead. And they're still putting up Super Walmarts. They're not looking back. And that's what I want to happen in my life, you see. I want to start something here, and I want my kids and my grandkids to continue on this thing. I want it to go on. I want to leave a legacy, not just a memory, not just some photos, not just some tapes and books. I want there to be something that's continuing to be built. You can't look back if you want to go on, even if it's a victory and a triumph. The nation of Israel, by God's plan, had been taken to Egypt. God took Jacob and his tribe at that time, his sons, and 72 of them, I think there were. He took them to Egypt, and they were delivered. That was the plan of God. They would stay there for 400 years, and they became a nation. It was God's plan. But then God decided he was going to deliver them. A triumph, a tremendous victory over Egypt, over the strongest nation. God just showed himself off, you know. And they came out of there with a mighty hand of God, is what the Bible says. Great triumph. But do you know that those people had an appetite and a taste for Egypt rather than the land that was flowing with milk and honey? They looked back. They wanted what was back there, rather than what God had for them. And so many Christ followers do that very same thing. We have a triumph, so we want to stay there. Or we allow the past because there were failures to hold us back and keep us from experiencing what God has for us in the future. Let me read you this verse in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Here's what the people that God delivered said. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. God delivered those people with a mighty hand, a great triumph. He had for them a wonderful life planned, a land that was full of milk and honey. But what did they hunger for? What did they have an appetite for? The past. Melons and garlic and leeks and onions. When they could have milk and honey. Now, on the other hand, there was Joshua and Caleb, who refused to look back, who refused to allow those people to be what they patterned after. Instead, they understood, as Paul had told them, to be something and to do something, that God had delivered them, saved them for a purpose and to do something, and they looked forward. Do you know that every single person that came out of Egypt died that looked back? Died in the wilderness. Their tombstones were in the wilderness. The only ones that went in were Joshua and Caleb, who refused to look back. In fact, when the Bible talks about them talking about the giants in the land, when the Bible talks about them looking into that land and what was going to happen for them, that land that was flowing with milk and honey, speaking of the giants, Joshua and Caleb says, they're but bread for us. You have to have an appetite for adventure, an appetite for the future, an appetite to go on in life. You can't allow the garlic and the melons. Don't be a garlic Christian. Don't be a cucumber Christian. There's a milk and honey that God has for each of us. But if you look back, you will perish in your wilderness. But if you look forward, you can possess your promised land. You got to stop looking back. Whether it was a victory or whether it was a failure, you cannot allow the past to hold you back. Looking back is deadly. Develop an appetite for your future. What is it that God has for you? You know, some of you, it's going to take going back to school to train yourself the way you should go. Some of you, it's going to take getting out that cliff without any net and stepping out there and chasing your dream. Some of you have got to train yourself in the way you should go in a more dramatic fashion than you have so far. What is it? What is it that God wants you to do? Then train yourself to do it. Find the patterns. Stop looking back. Find things that will help you become what God's called you to be. Now, I want to talk about this just for a second. There's got to be success after failure. The Bible tells us a story about Joshua as they entered into the Canaanites area, and he had a battle with a city called Ai. And Joshua lost that battle. They got kicked, and they got kicked badly. But Joshua refused to look back. Now, the people did. The people said, let's go back across. It was safe over there in the wilderness. Let's go back. Joshua says, no, we're not going to do that. He fell before God. He found out what the problem was, and he fought until he won. He got victory. I want to tell you, you're going to have fights you lose. You're going to have battles you lose. But that does not mean you've lost the conflict. You might lose the war. 7 times will a righteous person fall in one day. But guess how many times they get up? 7. Because you refuse to let defeat stop you. You can have 10,000 tests. You can run 10,000 tests before you finally figure it out. But never stop trying. Never stop trying. We all have failures. We all have mess ups. Any successful person has failures and has mess ups. And I know most of you very, very well. I know there are failed marriages that you've gone through and it's devastated you. I know that there's been failed businesses. I know that there's been failed financial situations. I know that there's been failed job opportunities when you were terminated and you weren't able to do the job as well as you wanted to do. I know there's been failures. But I want to tell you, God is not through with you. Those were just steps to bring you to where you are. And God has a plan for you, and God has a purpose for your life. He created you to do something. Let me give you some quotes. Jack Lemmon said this: failure seldom stops you. What stops you is the fear of failure. Isn't that interesting? Failure is the fear of failure. We're going to deal with that one. Facing our fears. William Durant, who is the founder of General Motors, said this: forget past mistakes, forget failures, forget everything except what you are going to do now, and do it. Harvey McKay, who is a business motivational speaker, said this: failure is an attitude, not an outcome. And then Mickey Rooney said this: you always pass failure on the way to success. There will be some failures if you're successful, just like Thomas Edison. Your past was only steps for your future. I want to end today's talk with a story about my dad. My dad was a very unique person. He was totally opposite me. Some of you don't know what I'm about to say, but if you come in a couple of Wednesdays from now, you'll learn what I'm talking about. I am a lion eagle type temperament. Very aggressive, you know, get after it, get it done. Drive fast, do everything fast. Dad was totally opposite. He was an ox man type temperament, and he did everything slow. I mean, everything slow. He drove slow, drove me crazy. Daddy's the kind of a guy, when I get behind him, Judy was one day, she was going to town, or she was working, but at this particular store, they had a yearly sale every year, and she loved to get there to go to this sale. And so she left early that day so she could go by the sale, and so she was going up the road, and she got behind like a mile-long row of cars. And she says, who in the world is driving this slowly? And there was a curve where you could see about a mile up. And guess who was in the front of that row? My dad in his truck. My Uncle Herb is much like me. with temperament. And he was driving with Dad one day in Dad's truck, and there was a row of cars behind him, and Uncle Herb was aggravated because Daddy was driving so slow, plus a little embarrassed because all these people were waving at Daddy. and Herb said, "Delbert, there are a row of cars behind you." Dad just kept driving, looked over at Herb, and said, "Herb, those behind you can't hurt you. Those in front of you are the ones you got to watch." I want to leave that with you. Your past cannot hurt you. If you can focus on your future and what's ahead of you, you will get where you're going. You will be successful. You got to do what Paul said do. Realize that God called you for something. He saved you to be and for something, not just from something. He's put gifts and talents into you to be successful and to do something that no one else has done. He wants you to be great. He wants you to be like Elisha. Remember Elisha in the Bible who patterned himself after Elijah? Elisha did more miracles than anyone else in the Bible other than Moses and Jesus. Now that's big. He patterned correctly. And if you'll pattern correctly, you can do twice as much as your parents did. You can do twice as much as your friends do. You can do twice as much as anything else has ever done around you. You got to make the right patterns. Follow the right people. Focus on the right things. And you got to stop looking back. You can't allow your past, whether it was a failure or whether it was a victory, to hold you. Don't become a pillar of salt. Don't be a garlic, melon, cucumber Christian. Don't let that be your tombstone. There is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It is your promised land. It is what God has for you. And if you will focus on the future and have an appetite for the land that's flowing with milk and honey, I promise you, God's going to take you, and you will have a successful life. Stop looking back. That's the title for today. Because I know that God wants us to leave something here. You agree with that? You agree with that? Would you give the Lord a shout and a hand clap?